Are you fat simply because you eat too much and exercise too little? Well, that's probably two of the reasons, but we're going to talk about 250 more possible influences. Also, we lay out the Fat to Fit Radio core beliefs about weight loss and health. All this and more on episode 49 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to season number three. How are you doing now, Jeff?
Well, it seems like we haven't spoken in quite a while, but it's only been a little less than 3 weeks. But it's great to get back into doing another show. So what's new with you down in Long Beach, California?
Oh, there's been a lot going on. A week or so ago, there were fires are running through the Southern California here, and it was just horrible. You know, the fires were nowhere near us. That was a concern. But there was so much ash in the air, so much smoke, it made it impossible to go outside. We closed up all the doors and windows and just stayed inside for a couple of days. All the kids' soccer games and flag football games were canceled. So exercising, forget about it outside. You don't even want to do it inside because there's still, it just seeps in every place. And it just, everything was very, very covered.
So how close did the fires get to where you are?
They were probably a good 40 plus miles away, 50 miles away. Seems like really far, but you know, there are people that I know that were affected by the fires. And at least one person that's, I know kind of through the podcasting, you know, circles, he had his house burned out in Sylmar. So it's hundreds of homes lost. It's very sad.
Now, I know also you said you were in some sort of thing where you're trying to record a podcast every single day for a month.
Oh, yes. This is a thing called NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month. And I had lofty ideas this year. I think, hey, maybe in November I'll, you know, try to write a novel. Who knows? But stuff happens, and that wasn't going to happen. So there's an alternative. There's these other offshoots, people who aren't going to write a novel, but they do something else for 30 days in a row. And what do? I podcast. So the thing is called NAPODPOMO, National Podcast Post Month. And so I have been posting a show on my personal website, runninginflipflops.com, for the last 30 days. So you got to go check that out and listen to all 30 in a row. They're about between 5 minutes and 15, 20 minutes. And they're kind of, it was really fun. It's a good experience because trying to come up with a topic every day, a different topic, it's been hard. And, you know, right around day 25, you start losing your losing ideas. You've already got everything you thought you wanted to do. And now you're like, oh, I only got 5 more days to go. Anything and everything you want to put down in the podcast, you do. And you start coming up with some weird ideas. How about you? Is it, are you skiing up there in Calgary already?
Not quite yet. There's really not any real snow that stayed around yet, but I've been super busy the last couple of weeks. Last weekend, I did a 16-hour CPR and first aid course. And then, of course, you know, we just had the Grey Cup, which, of course, the Calgary Stampeders are the Grey Cup champions in Canada this year. Here's something that's really got me excited, and I think our listeners, at least our Canadian listeners, will be interested. Next year, 2010, in Vancouver, we have the 2010 Olympics. And a little less than a year from right now, we are doing the Olympic Torch Relay in Canada. And the Torch Relay was just announced. It's going to be 45,000 kilometers or 27,000 miles. It's actually going to be the longest torch relay in the history of the Olympics, and it's running all over Canada. The goal of the Olympic torch relay is to go within 100 kilometers of 90% of the population of Canada. Now, the thing is, you can apply to get in the lottery to become one of those 12,000 spots that are still available to carry the Olympic torch. And you're only going to be running about 400 meters. Can you imagine if you win this, you get this nice fancy Canada tracksuit, and you can actually purchase the torch that you use in the relay, you know, when you get the flame from the person before you run down, give it to the next person. And this would be a great opportunity if you actually win one of these spots. You got to think, of course, you're going to take pictures of yourself. You're going to want to look healthy and fit. And this would be something that you're going to pass on to your kids and your grandkids and say, remember when Uncle Johnny ran with the Olympic torch? And I think it would be fun if anyone that we know actually got in.
That's pretty cool. You know, the last time we had the Olympics here in Los Angeles, I believe it was 1984, and I was just in was it seventh grade, sixth grade? So I wouldn't have been able to do something like that or even knew it was happening. But that seems like a lot. It's 27,000 miles. They're just going to kind of run just back and forth all over Canada, it seems like. I didn't know that Canada was that big.
Well, Canada is actually the second largest country in the world after the Soviet Union. So it is just massive. I mean, there's lots of areas that aren't populated, but it's going from north to south, all over, back and forth. It just really wants to get everywhere that it possibly can.
Well, that's amazing. That's very cool.
But hey, we've been gabbing for quite a bit here. Let's get into the show. And let's start off with our email and comment section.
Yeah, and our first email here was from Allison Ventura.
Now, her email is fairly lengthy, so we'll read portions of it, and I've summarized a lot of it as well. The email deals with our episode about the heart attack girl, which is a few shows back, and it calls us to task over some of the things that we said about it. Just to refresh people's memories about that episode, we found the most absolute, egregious fast food restaurant that we could find. They served the most insane, huge burgers, fries that were cooked in pure lard, and they even sold unfiltered cigarettes, you know, just to be totally unhealthy. Their restaurant has been getting quite a lot of media attention because it's just so over the top, thumbing its nose at what we all know is healthy. We treated the topic as a not too serious, fun topic, but the overall concern from the email is that we were inconsistent with our message that we've been promoting to everyone.
Yep, and I'll start the email here. Hi, Russ and Jeff. I've been following your podcast for a while now, and I have never had a weight problem, but I'm a researcher in the field of childhood obesity prevention, so I'm always very interested in the current thinking on weight loss and healthy living. I try to keep up on what is out there to see what the newest trends and perspectives are. Your show has been an interesting take on real-life weight struggles and attempts at healthy living. I just listened to your Heart Attack Grill episode and felt the need to contact you about it. The story of the restaurant itself was interesting and a bit appalling. I was disappointed, though, with your conclusion of the story where you both said that if you were in Arizona, you would definitely stop by and try it out just for the experience of it.
As someone who is also in this field of health promotion and obesity prevention, I feel this type of restaurant is completely against what we stand for, and given the opportunity, I would definitely boycott a place like this. I would have hoped that both of you would have said the same. Yes, it would be just one meal, but what a restaurant like this stands for is completely counter to our health promotion goals. Plus, one meal at a place like this could create a serious setback for someone trying to lose weight, more so than a typical fast food burger splurge, as their quadruple bypass burger is estimated to have 8,000 calories. That would add up to more than a 2-pound weight gain if not compensated for. I'm guessing their single bypass burger would have about a quarter of the calories of their quadruple bypass burger, which would still be 2,000 calories. Pretty excessive for one meal.
So my overall point is that as both obesity preventionists and as consumers, we need to speak with our actions to make some real positive changes to our country's food and physical activity markets. By going to a place like the Heart Attack Grill, we are in essence condoning their actions and supporting their obesogenic business practices. Because you have a community of listeners and within that community, you are no doubt influential, I thought I should bring what I saw as an inconsistency in your message to your attention.
This is a great email for the start of season 3 because we can clearly go over what our beliefs are about weight loss and health, etc. Now, this email did get us to think about what our message really is, and I believe that when you have clear goals and an understanding of what you're all about, everything kind of falls into place after that. So these are our top 6 core beliefs that we base everything that we talk to our listeners about on the show. So number 1, we have a strong belief that diets do not work. So following a set diet plan such as the South Beach or the Atkins diet, the Zone diet, or any of those commercial diets, you know, or other things like Jenny Craig or Nutrisystem with the prepackaged foods, or even programs like Weight Watchers, they simply don't work. Now, don't get me wrong. They all work in the short term while people are following them and they can be compliant to their programs, but more than 99% of people fail in the long run. If you think of last week, a lot of our listeners who we were talking about in their successes and failures, they had been to Weight Watchers and off and back again. So even something that's very successful like Weight Watchers doesn't seem to work in the long term.
All right, and the second idea is that if you want to be a thinner, healthier person, you need to live the lifestyle of a thinner and healthier person. It's all about changing your lifestyle to that of a healthier person. If you start now rather than when you reach your goal weight, you'll never have to go off of any temporary diet. If you look at an example of an active, healthy person who breaks their leg and they're forced to be sedentary for a couple months, they'll probably put on some weight. But when they get mobile again, the weight comes right off. They don't go on any sort of diet. They just start eating and exercising like the thinner, healthier person that they were and still are, and their body catches up with them again.
And our third core belief is that under-eating will always lead to overeating. Your body is designed to survive, and you can starve yourself in the short term and get some quick weight loss. But your body's desire not to starve to death always wins out in the long run, and no matter how much willpower you have, your body will fight back, and you will end up overeating. The psychology will catch up to you. Your body will fight back.
All right, the next one is, the most important thing while losing weight for the long term is to go slow. You might have spent the last 5, 10, 20 years putting on this weight. You should not expect it to come off in the next 5 months. Rapid weight loss leads to muscle loss. The last thing you want to do is lose muscle. The goal should be fat loss, not just weight loss. By losing muscle, you're slowing down your metabolism and making it easier for that weight to come back. Fat loss should be your goal.
Our fifth belief has to do with long-term success in losing weight and keeping it off. And we believe in a true lifestyle of health, not perfection 100% of the time, because nobody is perfect. So for example, if you constantly deny yourself your favorite sinful food, you're only going to crave it more. There's no need to feel guilty for a once-in-a-while meal like Thanksgiving or Christmas or even a wedding. Healthy, active people get to enjoy food and events once in a while. Chronic dieters, on the other hand, tend to lose their ability to enjoy these things. They always have this guilt. Here's a quote that we used on a show last summer that summarized this. It's not that important what you eat between Christmas and New Year's. What is important is what you eat between New Year's and Christmas. So as long as you're averaging the lifestyle and the calories per month of this healthy, active person, once in a while you can eat a little more, you can enjoy yourself, but you're not going to be on this constant, strict diet for the rest of your life. You're living a lifestyle of a thinner, healthier person. And that is truly the secret here.
That was a good quote. I remember that one. It's good. All right. And the sixth idea here that we're promoting is goal setting is the real key to getting results in the short term and keeping yourself on track for the long term. If living this thinner lifestyle is not natural for you, you need to set goals and ways to measure that you are on track. Simply put, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know, I just mentioned this to my son the other day. He was doing a Cub Scout thing. It happens in all walks of life. He's trying to get these badges, these belt loops, and he hasn't set up a goal for himself to get all these. And just like you're in weight loss, if you fail to plan, plan to fail.
So those are our true core beliefs that everything we kind of talk about, it comes around to those. We talk about a lot of the details of how to do our weight loss, etc., and become healthier. But that's really what it's all about. One other thing, before the new year, in a couple of weeks, we will do a show on goal setting again so you can get ready for the new year's and kind of reset, because everyone likes to do that for the new year.
All right. Now, in relation to the Hardtack Grill, we aren't really concerned about this one restaurant. You know, the Hardtack Grill happens to get a lot of press because it happened to sell food that's extremely bad for you. You know, we could have been talking about any sort of famous restaurant that might not offer the healthiest food that you can get.
And like we said, this was a light topic, and we didn't think that we needed to be too negative about it because it was so unhealthy and over the top that it was pretty obvious that we don't approve of restaurants like this. But we both talked about this after the show, and we both still stand by what we said about checking it out. We would probably have a single burger and skip the fries cooked in lard because that's just, you know, doesn't sound that appealing anymore. But we would treat it as a tourist attraction. And we might check it out, and we have a couple of reasons why.
Right, the first reason is you can't blow a lifestyle in one meal, but you can blow a diet in one meal. In fact, in the past, we've mentioned that you should have a bigger meal once in a while to keep your metabolism churning. The long-term calorie restriction will shut down your metabolism, but that one, call it a cheater meal, once in a while can actually help in losing the pounds.
Another thing, I really enjoy food and I like to try different foods. I might only try something once in a lifetime, but I eat healthy probably at least 350 days of the year. So I am not personally going to deny myself a spectacular meal on a vacation or a trip or a special event like a holiday meal, because my lifestyle is that of this thinner person who eats and exercises healthy the vast majority of the year. So for example, last year I was in Toronto. I tried what's called poutine. Have you heard of poutine, Russ? Do you have it down there?
I have not heard of poutine, I don't believe.
Well, poutine is a French-Canadian, I guess I could call it, sort of a cuisine. It comes from Quebec, and it's very popular in eastern Canada. And what it is, it's French fries covered in a special gravy with melted cheese curds on it. And when I tried it last year, it even came with a big bowl of mayonnaise to dip your fries into. It was horribly unhealthy, but it was one meal in my lifetime. And this is something that I've always heard about and wanted to try. And I really don't see too much of a difference for me to experience this French-Canadian food while I was traveling or going to the United States and trying an exaggeration of this American cuisine, which is there are these huge burgers.
So in summary, Allison, part of your email that we didn't read said that it was very sad that people equate unhealthy things with being good and healthy things as not being fun. That's very true, and something that we will have to explore more in the future here. The thing that comes to mind here is like something like Disneyland and cotton candy. You know, we start our children off very early in this belief that those things that taste good and are sweet, we equate those with fun.
That's true. There's so many things that we could say are bad and negative, and we all know that they are. If a heart attack girl came into my neighborhood and they spread across the country, of course we would be saying, no, this is a horrible place. Don't go eat there. But like I said, this is more like a touristy thing for people to go do if they choose to do it. And it was more of an experience. It was sad, but it was, I guess, a picture of our North American lifestyle and just how sad it has become. All right, we have one other email we're going to read. And this came from Jenny Greenlee. And we had a number of people who responded to the season 2 finale, and these were mainly the people who we talked about in the show, and they were really surprised to hear their stories, and here's just one sample of one of the comments that came in.
All right, and Jenny wrote, "Hi guys, I just listened to your season finale podcast and was stunned when I heard my introductory post read aloud. I was also so ashamed of myself because I haven't been committed as I should be to my lifestyle changes. I have not gained weight, but I have also not lost any in quite a while.
Some things happened and I faced some major health issues over the summer. I have been feeling a bit better lately, but I still haven't really committed to changing my ways until I listened to this podcast this morning. I have now reviewed my commitment to myself to get back on track and get myself healthy and strong.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I listened from the beginning and absolutely love your podcast. It's given me the motivation to try again and try harder. She wrote, P.S. here, this isn't just lip service. I actually got on the treadmill today for 45 minutes and plan to add workouts in pen to my calendar."
Well, I think that's just great that, you know, we read all of these posts that people left on the Fat to Fit support site, and a lot of these people had kind of fallen off the wagon and were still listening to the show, and then they heard this again and reminded them, and that really inspired people. And I think that's just an awesome result of that show.
Yeah, I think when I posted Paula Russell's post on the front of the website along with the that podcast number 48, and she also responded. She was very surprised to see it in print there with her picture on the front. So you know, I think it's very motivating. You know, I was very motivated by all these stories. Some people have doing some great work losing weight, and it was just wonderful to hear that, and particularly to read it on the show.
I think that's just regular people. It's hard not to get caught up with when you hear a lot of other people having success and losing weight and being happy about it. It's hard not to find out, what are you doing? Like, how can I have this great success? Seemed to be an easier show for us because we were really just taking all of the content from the listeners, but I'm glad it had such a positive influence.
Yep. And if you'd like to get your comment here on the show, a couple ways to do it. First one is to leave a comment over at the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, and now is the time where we do a little talking about some news items on the Web Report. What do you have for us this number one show of season three, Jeff?
I have an article from theguardian.co.uk, and it's entitled, "We're All Getting Fatter and It May Be Contagious, Claims Economists." So these are economists trying to talk about health, so maybe they can kind of see the big picture, but I'm not quite sure if it really works out. They're talking about obesity, they think, is socially contagious, according to their research. They claim that because everyone's waistline seems to be getting bigger, people are subconsciously trying to keep up with the weight of the Joneses, and that's why they're also getting fatter. So they're talking about people's status in society. And they think when in a Darwinian society in which people compete for status, being overweight carries a stigma. But as more people become obese, that perception changes. And now when my neighbor gets a little fatter, I become a little fatter because I'm competing to be just like them. So it seems a little silly to me. I think it might be a little true in that it's not that you want to be just like your neighbor because your neighbor's getting fatter. I think you're getting fatter because you allow yourself to get fatter because you look around and there's less social pressure because as your neighbors get fatter, you can get a little bit lazier, eat a little bit more, and you're not as embarrassed or feeling a little bit out of place because everyone else is starting to look like you. So there's another way that you can look at it. But it is interesting when economists try and look at health issues.
Yeah, I have to agree with the idea that if you are gaining weight, you may be looking around at the people around you, people in your neighborhood, at work, and you're thinking, you know, I'm not as fat as that guy, so I must be okay. I think that's a bad way to think about it. No matter what, if you have extra weight, you're hurting your body, you're hurting your health is suffering, and you need to lose that weight, and you'll be better for it.
There are some real interesting things just about fashion could be contagious then because everyone seems to copy each other as well. People still aren't dressing the way they did in the 70s because they start to look out of place because no one's dressing like that. So that's kind of my thoughts on that issue. So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Wait a minute. So if I start tight rolling my jeans again, it may be contagious and somebody else is going to tight roll their jeans this week?
Yeah, you could give it a shot. You could also start growing your mullet too and grow your hair out in the back and we'll see.
Way ahead of you there, sir. Way ahead of you. I've got an article here I found over on healthday.com, and it is post-workout snack may hamper weight loss. The idea here is that elite athletes are advised to fill the tank, quote-unquote, with an energy bar or sports drink soon after workout. But for the rest of us, folks who are simply trying to keep their weight in check, adding calories right after burning them could negate the benefits of the sweat, they say. And this was done in a study over at the University of Massachusetts. And they had three groups, and they put them through rigorous training, and then they gave them snacks afterward. And the ones who consumed these higher carb snacks afterward and drinks, the benefits of the workout were negated. And while those who ate the lower carb foods or completely abstained from a snack after their workout saw more benefit from the workout. So looks like so far what I'm seeing here, it's true. And probably should just get a nice big glass of water after your workout instead of that Gatorade.
That's right. It seems really obvious to us that you wouldn't want to eat more calories right after workout if your goal was to burn calories. But people are being bombarded by all of the advertisements from Gatorade and all of these sports drinks that you need to refuel your body and rehydrate. Reality is, you need to work out for an hour and a half straight to get enough sweat loss that you're going to lose enough salt and electrolytes that you're going to need to replace them. And in reality, just having some water and eating regular meals, there's enough electrolytes and salts and sodium in regular food to get it back, just by eating regularly.
Yep, you don't have to be like Mike all the time. You can just have a nice big glass of water. All right, so this week in our features section, Jeff kind of blinded me with science. I feel a little like Thomas Dolby right now because he sent me this thing called the Obesity System Influence Diagram, and it made my eyes go cross. Jeff, what is this thing you're talking about?
Well, first of all, if you've ever talked to someone who thought that obesity is just caused by eating too much and exercising too little, they have no idea. I found a project that's being done in the UK, and it's a project to produce a long-term vision of how they can deliver a sustainable response to obesity in the UK over the next 40 years. And they hired a company, and they went through a process of coming up with every little factor that relates to obesity and putting it in a huge system influence diagram. And it is absolutely massive. So I'll give you a little background on it before we get into it and explain how you can read it, because it is really incredible to take a look at. The objectives of this project were to use scientific evidence from across a wide range of disciplines to identify the broad range of factors that influence obesity, and looking way beyond just the obvious. They also wanted to create a shared understanding of all of the different relationships between key factors that influence levels of obesity and their relative importance. And lastly, they wanted to build on this evidence to identify effective interventions. The link that we're going to give you shows this huge, massive diagram. We've looked at it for maybe an hour and a half, each of us, just trying to understand and follow the links. It is very comprehensive, and it's actually pretty cool. So we're going to try and describe how this diagram is working and how you would look at it in the first place. So first of all, this diagram has 8 core clusters of factors, which lists 251 individual factors. So the first core cluster is social psychology, and there's 15 individual factors in there. Things like education level, the media availability, importance of ideal body size and self-image, social acceptability of fatness, etc.
And the next core factor on the list here is individual psychology. And in this cluster, there are things like self-esteem, face-to-face social interaction, individualism, and stress.
And the third one is individual physical activity, and there's 13 factors in here. And there are things like degree of physical education, socio-cultural values of activity, level of recreational activity, level of domestic activity, etc.
And some items in here, the social deprecation of labor. The reliance on labor-saving devices and services. Another one here, access to opportunities for physical exercise. All very interesting.
And the next core one is food production, which is talking about lots of different things. I think there's 17 different factors in here. Things like your own purchasing power, your demand for health, your level of employment, desire for differing food options, desire for catering and different tastes. There's lots of little factors in there.
The next core idea here is the food consumption. And this one, one of my favorites here, food variety, alcohol consumption, portion sizes, rate of eating, food abundance, tendency to graze. These are all factors in the food consumption cluster.
And then we move on to the individual physiology core here, which has things like the level of available energy, your resting metabolic rate, your level of thermogenesis, your level of fat-free mass, and just a ton of other things.
And the last one is physiological with just 10 factors, and a couple of those are level of infections, predisposition to activity, reliance on surgical intervention, and here's an interesting one, quality and quantity of breastfeeding. It's very interesting.
So how you have to imagine this, we have all of these different core things with all these little boxes of all the different factors inside. And now there's all these different lines that are connecting all of the different boxes from all of the different core clusters. Now inside of all of this, there is yet another main core loop, which is energy balance. And we all know that weight loss, the bottom line is really energy in versus energy out. Now this energy balance, which is the main core loop, is then going to relate to everything else in the entire diagram.
There are hundreds of loops and lines which all link these 251 individual factors to each other for cause and effect and influence. And all the lines are either solid or dashed. If they're solid, they represent a positive influence. If they're dashed, they represent a negative influence. And you really need to check out the diagram and look at it in color on the screen. I have a printout here in front of me. It doesn't do it justice. It's very much, much easier to read when you're looking at it on the screen.
That's right. Because when you're looking at it on the screen, as you move your pointer around the system map, you'll see that groups of lines will highlight in different colors. Now, what is happening is that the core cluster that you happen to be pointing at will highlight, and then every other factor from all of the other different core clusters will highlight at the same time, so you can track all of those relationships, positive and negative. So, for example, you can point at the individual physical activity cluster and then trace out all of the factors that influence your amount of physical activity from all of the other clusters, such as level of education, the amount of media consumption from radio and TV, the availability of passive entertainment such as movies and TV, your self-esteem, your stress level, the level of activity on your job, dominance of motorized transport in your life, your resting metabolic rate, etc., etc. So you really need to see this diagram in the real life so you can point at it and follow the different colors. And it is an amazing job that they did here. Like I said, obesity has to do with eating too much. No, it's even talking about breastfeeding and whether you were weaned properly as a child and got off it. I mean, it's just amazing all of the factors that they have come up with in this chart. And I think it would be a great thing to take a look at and say, oh yeah, this is definitely influencing me. Or maybe you're saying, you know, that has no impact on my life. But it is an interesting look at this whole obesity problem. All right, so I think that's kind of summarized that up. We're going kind of long tonight, but let's move on to our recipe of the week.
Well, this one, Jeff says this is a regional fast food choice only. Remember, we're doing fast food picks. I only did two. We stopped last couple weeks ago. Show number 48, I was on two recipes I had done. This one is the third one, and it is for El Pollo Loco. Now, Jeff tells me they don't have a Pollo Loco in Canada, and from looking at their franchise list, it's really mostly in California here with scattered few, maybe dozen around the country, but it's one of my favorites, and so I'm going to share it with you. It is the Pollo Loco white meat meal. It's a breast, no skin, a wing, a salad. You can get it with no chips or cheese, vegetables, two tortillas, and I like it with a little avocado salsa and pico de gallo. And that's 552 calories for the whole meal. But, this is the cool part, if you don't get the tortillas, it's only 371 calories. And I'll have a link in the show notes where you can check out all the items that they have on their menu. And that's the white meat meal from El Pollo Loco. All right, Jeff, so what kind of homework do we have for everyone today?
Well, it's now December, so the homework is to start thinking about your New Year's resolutions and goals. We're going to do a show in a few weeks on how to set these powerful goals so that you will actually achieve them next year. Now, you don't have to wait till New Year's to set your goals, but since everyone seems to like to start again at New Year's, we're going to give you a lot of help when we get closer there. So in the next couple of weeks, start looking at areas in your life that you are dissatisfied with that you want to change. Then start coming up with a list of possible goals that are measurable on a daily or weekly basis. The bigger the list, the better. We're going to narrow down those goals when we get closer to New Year's. And one last thing, you can't just say your goal is to lose some weight. Start listing specific things and goals that you can do that will achieve the weight loss if this is the area that you want to improve. So, for example, if your goal was to lose weight, maybe set some goals like taking 4 30-minute walks per week, something specific, or taking a lunch from home at least 3 days per week. Or like one of mine last year was to eat an apple every single day. My goal was 365 apples within the calendar year. So good luck. Start thinking about those goals. And as I said, we'll fine-tune them in a couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good. And what is our quote for this week, Jeff?
This week's quote comes from Theodore T. Hunger, and he said, "Keep steadily before you the fact that all true success depends at last upon yourself."
All right, well, that's going to do it for show number one here of season three. It's actually show number 49, but I want to thank everyone for downloading the show and for listening. And all those show notes for all the information we talked about is available over at fattofitradio.com. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.